This is May 7th, 2024. Good morning once again. I am glad that you're with us. You're listening to Back to the Basic Bible Study. I'm Pastor George Goins of Macedonia Baptist Church, located over here in the Bright Star, Arkansas, just right off of State Highway 237. Matter of fact, our physical address is 23465 State Highway 237, and we are located, we actually have a Doddridge address, but we are in the what they refer to as the Bright Star area. So, love for you to come, be a part of Macedonia Baptist Church. We have some great people here that love the Lord, and they love people as well. And we'd love for you, if you're looking for a church, come visit with us. We have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 9:45 and 10:45, our worship service. And then on Sunday night at 6, and then Wednesday night at 7. We'd love for you to come be a part of Macedonia Baptist Church. I hope you're doing well. I tell you what, the weather's been kind of crazy here lately, and lots of folks going through some very devastating things, some tornadoes up north, up in Oklahoma. I guess last night got some pretty bad tornadoes, and we need to be praying for folks right now. We need to be praying through this stormy weather season that we have right now, that God will just watch out for us and protect us. And these tornadoes are devastating. I mean, they are destroying homes. They're destroying businesses, towns even. It's just amazing the power of a tornado and what it can do. So we need to be praying for folks, and be safe out there, and listen to your radio or your TV and or your phone, however you do it, your weather channel, and make sure that you're aware of what's going on around you. But things are going well here at Macedonia. We've had some good services in the last few weeks. Lord's been with us, and Lord's moved upon us, and we're grateful for that. We got some upcoming events this month. Of course, this Sunday coming up is Mother's Day. We want to honor our moms. And listen, I tell you, I still have my parents. My mother is, she's got cancer. She has lung cancer. And so I covet your prayers for her. She's gone through some radiation treatment. And so far things have gone well. And we're just praying for God's will to be done in her life. But man, we ought to honor our parents, because you don't know how long you have them. And some of you folks have already, your parents have already passed on. And so you just have those memories, and you have those opportunities just to maybe visit the grave and to reflect on memories. And so do that, you know, and it's good healing for you. And I know that it makes you sad to think about your parents after they passed on. But, you know, that's what we have to back up on, is our memories and the good memories that we have of them. So honor them. And then on the 19th, we are having our 168 year anniversary of the church. This church has been here for, we'll celebrate 168 years. It was established back in 1856, and excited about celebrating our birthday of Macedonia Baptist Church and all of the years that it's been here. It's a pretty amazing to me that the church has lasted this long, and we're grateful because God's using it, and that's good. He has a purpose for it, so we're grateful. So you can join us there. We're going to have a 10:30 service on that day, and then we're going to eat afterwards, and you don't want to miss it. It'd be great. And Jeremy Sutton is going to preach that day. He's one of our members here. He's a police officer in Texarkana. And great guy, loves the Lord, been called to preach, and that's what he does. And so he'll be preaching for us on homecoming. We're excited about that. So don't forget that, okay? And then I think that's pretty much it we've got going on right now. We'll have the Gideons with us on the 26th to share about the ministry that they do about handing out Bibles, which is very important. Bibles need to get in the hands of people. People need to hear the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So it's very important that we do that. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. If you got your Bibles and you're able to turn there with me, we'll be in chapter 3 of Philippians. I'm going to do a song here I like. I hadn't sang this song in such a long time. It's a great song. It's called Never Alone. And, of course, it talks about how Jesus is always with us through all of the storms, whether it be physical storms that we have in the weather or even the spiritual storms that we have in our lives. You know, we all go through difficult circumstances at times in our lives, and we have Jesus there. He'll never leave us alone. Matter of fact, that's what he told his disciples. He said, "I'll never leave you as orphans. I will always be there for you." And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Here it goes. I've seen the lightning flashing, heard the thunder roll. I felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. The world's fierce winds are blowing, temptations are sharp and keen. I feel the peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when earthly friends are gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. When in affliction's valley, I'm treading the road of care.
Let me try that again.
When affliction's valley, I'm treading the road of care. My Savior helps me to carry my cross when heavy to bear. My feet entangled with briars, ready to cast me down. My Savior whispers his promise, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. He died for me on the mountain, for me they pierced his side. For me he opened that fountain, the crimson cleansing tide. For me he waiteth in glory, seated upon his throne. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone.
And he did. He promised never to leave us and never to forsake us. He's always there, even through the storms. He goes through the storms with us. Sometimes he doesn't stop the storm, but he will go through it with us, and I'm thankful for that. Yep, great song. Sorry I messed up there, but it's been a while since I've sang that song. but it's a good little song, and it's got some good words, good meanings behind it. That's what I like about these old hymns. You know, they're just inspirational to me. Definitely inspired by the Lord for those who wrote them. And they were telling a testimony. Usually there's a testimony. There's a story behind every one of these songs that have been inspired, that these people had gone through some difficult times. But I enjoy singing music, okay? Hey, Philippians chapter 3, I want to look at two verses, and then we're going to actually kind of touch on the whole chapter here. And we're going to look at a man's life that was a good example of someone who was dedicated, totally dedicated, all in, one that wanted to know more about Jesus Christ. And that was the Apostle Paul. And we'll talk more about him here in a moment. But verse number 13, it says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So a great statement that Paul makes here in this chapter here. Here's a man that is wanting to be totally focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and wants to know more about him. Staying focused on Jesus Christ is a key to survival in a dark world that we live in today. We have to stay focused. But the problem is that today our lifestyle, we're just too busy, it seems like, in life. We've got too much going on. We take on too many activities. I know just in my own life, I've even told Sherry, my wife, that, you know, I've got to get some of these irons out of the fire because I'm getting older now and it's just not as easy for me to be able to get around like I would like to. And so I don't know. We just take on too much. Now, I don't believe in being idle either. I don't want to be idle. I want to always be able to stay busy to keep my mind focused on Christ and the work that he has called me to do. But sometimes we can just kind of overload ourselves. We get tied down to so many responsibilities that we're just not allowed to really focus in on the calling that God has given us. And that's the thing, is that everybody here, everybody under the sound of my voice, we all have a calling. We do. If you're saved, God's got something specific for you and how he wants to use your life to touch other people in the world for his kingdom's sake. And if you're lost here today, his call for you is to come to him and to know him and to accept his salvation of grace through faith through Jesus Christ. And so oftentimes we just get so busy, so wrapped up on things in life that we just end up putting the Lord's will on the back burner. So, but what should we be focused on? I think that's an important question. What should we be focused on? Well, one, I think we should be taking care of our families as God has commanded us to do. We should take care of our families, you know, make sure we're making a living and providing for our families and being there for them physically, spiritually. Those things are important. But also focusing on God's will for your life, whatever that may be, that calling that God has called you. You stay focused on that, and that's what he wants you to do, and he wants to use your life. Now, listen, I don't know about you, but it's an honor to me to know that God can use me to touch somebody else's life for his kingdom. You know, that's what I want. It's an honor. Truly it is. But also to maintain our relationship with the Lord, that's important. We need to do that. That's an everyday event that should take place in our lives. And the way we can do that is, first of all, we have to make God first in our lives. We've got to make him first in our lives over anything and everything else that's available to us in our lives, even over our families. We have to make God first. That is very important. That's the foundation. And then praying every day, conversing with the Lord, talking to the Lord every day. A lot of us, sometimes we get so busy that we don't just stop and talk to the Lord. And we need to talk to the Lord. Studying God's Word is another thing. Not just reading it, but studying the Word of God. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, I don't understand it all either, but I keep studying it, and the Lord keeps revealing things to me in His Word. And it's very important that we study the Word of God. We need our spiritual food. And then going and being active in church. We need to be consistent in going to church. We need to be active in church. When the doors are open, we need to be there. We need to be a part of the congregation. We get so busy with other activities that we neglect going to church. And folks, don't make that your God. You know, you need to go to make God first. If you're going to make God first, you need to be in church. Why? Because the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to get together. We need that. And then sharing the gospel. Of course, Jesus told us very clearly that we are to go and make disciples and baptizing them and then discipling them. Those are very important. That's a very important command that we need to make sure that we're doing. But Paul is going to make a radical, he makes this radical change. And of course, Acts chapter 9, we're doing a study in the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 9, Paul's conversion, you see that that God makes a radical change in his life. We'll see here that Paul is pointing out some things in this letter to the Philippians here about his past life, about his conclusion of his past life, and then also future focus that he has, which we just read, and then his challenge to us, to those that are believers, the challenge here. So let's look real quick here. Paul's past life, we can see that in verses 1 through verse 6. He gives a warning in verse number 2. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, as he says here. We are to be careful because there are false religions out there. There are false prophets that are out there that are preaching a false gospel. And we need to beware of that. And then also Paul's revelation, you can see in verse number 3, he describes true Christianity. He says, for we are the circumcision, which means that we are separated through the new birth, being spiritually born again. We are separated, which worship God in spirit. We do worship God in spirit because when you're saved, the Spirit of God comes inside of you. And so it connects with the spirit you, and you worship in spirit. So it's an inward thing that takes place outwardly. It does, comes out outwardly as well. But it's also an inward. It starts in the inward part where our spirit worships the spirit, which is God in the spirit and within us. And then also in rejoiceth in Christ Jesus, we are to be happy Christians. We are to have joy in our heart. And oftentimes we don't need to live the life of misery. We don't need to be miserable in our lives. We need to be a life of joy and not negativity, but positivity in our lives. And then have no confidence in the flesh. In other words, we need to be humble. We need to show humility in our lives. Then we see Paul's understanding of his past life. He gives us here his religious credentials here. So this is his past. He's thinking back now of his life and of all of the accomplishments he's had in his past life. First of all, he says he's circumcised the eighth day. So according to the Jewish law, a male baby was to be circumcised on the eighth day. That was according to the law. And so, you know, Paul being a Jew and being a male, he was circumcised, and which was a separation, is what that reflected or symbolizes of. But then also he was of the stock of Israel, meaning that his heritage, his forefathers were all of Israel. They were of the tribes. Of the 12 tribes of Israel, which his, of course, well, he was of the tribe of Benjamin. So he had that bloodline in his, as a matter of fact, you can trace it all the way back. And then also he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, meaning that he was a full-blooded Jew. He didn't have any mixture in there. He was all Jew and of the tribe of Benjamin and of the stock of Israel. And then as touching the law, he was a Pharisee. So he was a teacher of the law. He knew the law. He was taught under Gamaliel, who was a very knowledgeable professor, so to speak, of the law, and he was taught these things. So he had some religious credentials, but the religious credentials is not going to get you into heaven, okay? And he's aware of that, okay? But he's given us those. Now, his life goes, you can see in verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. That was his number one priority prior to his new birth, was to persecute the church. And that's what he did, caused havoc among the church. And then touching righteousness, which is the law, blameless. In other words, living according to the law blamelessly. He tried to live according to the law. So he's looking at his past life and his accomplishments, what he's gained in his past life here. But we see Paul's conclusion, though, here in verse number 7 through verse number 9 here. First of all, Paul's past life, he counts it as loss. Loss meaning a detriment or rubbish, as he uses the term dung here in verse number 8. He says in verse number 8, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." He's doing a comparison here. All of these things of my past, my religious credentials, my life goals, all of those things that I felt like that I was gaining in life was lost. And what he was doing is comparing that to the knowledge of Christ Jesus, his Lord, after being saved. And he says, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung," which is rubbish, is how that's interpreted, "that I may win Christ." And we see that he looks to his life achievements as rubbish, but in comparison to his future goals, which we'll see in a moment, of knowing Jesus more. Okay, so Paul wants the righteousness of God in his life in verse number 10, "that I may know him," talking about Jesus, "and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable in unto his death." So he wanted a day-to-day relationship with Jesus, a personal day-to-day relationship with Jesus. And now, how can we do that? We can only do that is if we allow Jesus to increase in our life, but and then we must decrease in our life. And that's what John said in John chapter 3, verse 30. Experiencing daily spiritual challenges, we're going to experience those, and those are the test of faith that we need in our lives, which makes us stronger in our spiritual growth. Participating in his suffering, what Paul was referring to is participating, being a part of Christ's suffering, which Jesus, went through a lot of suffering, went through a lot of criticism. People would spit upon him, people would call him names, and then, of course, ultimately, he would be whipped and be crucified on a cross for the sins of the world. And so Paul is saying, hey, I want to participate in his suffering, which Paul would, of course, give his life in the end. Paul's desire to achieve spiritual maturity, we can see that in verse 11 and 12. "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect," which means to be complete or mature, "but I follow after that, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." So, that was his desire there. So we see that Paul's past, he looks at his past. He comes to this conclusion that his past, all these good things that have happened in his life, were as rubbish compared to the relationship he wants to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we see Paul's future focus here. Paul's future focus in verse number 13 and 14, which again, let me read it. He says, "Brethren," he's speaking to the believers here at Philippi, and he says, "I count not myself to have apprehended," which actually means something which I've strived for that I have not gained yet. Okay, that's what that means. So he's striving for it, but he hasn't gained it yet. So it's still out there, and he's still going toward that mark. Okay. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." He's talking about his past, his past credentials that he had, his past gains. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So he's reaching out. He's got some new goals. His goals is not to persecute the church and then to live the law perfectly. That's not his goal. His goal is to reach forth to those things which are before, which is to obtain a personal relationship and to grow spiritually in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 14, which is what he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was called to the Gentiles. He was called to kings, and he was called to the children of Israel. So he had these callings, which is to reach people. He was an evangelist. I mean, I know you call him a missionary. He would be a missionary too because he started churches, but he was like an evangelist as well. He was going out and he was preaching the gospel. And he was preaching it to the Gentiles. He's preaching it to the kings that he would go before. And then he's also preaching it before his own people because he loved his people and he wanted his people to know Jesus and know the truth. So Paul had not achieved this ultimate goal of perfection, which he mentions here are maturity, spiritual maturity, that ultimately we will when we're glorified. But knowing Jesus, he had not completely understood, and he wanted to know more about Jesus. Kind of like that song that we sing, I want to know more. I want to know more about Jesus. Spiritual maturity is what he was trying to achieve now. But he says here, this one thing is letting go of the past. We have to let go of the past, and we have to build on the future. And we have to push forward to that high calling of God. Sometimes we get so busy that we forget what God has called us to do. And we've got to get back on that. We've got to get focused on that, that we've got to get back where Jesus wants us to be and to be focused on him. But then we see Paul's final testimony, which is not actually in this passage here, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, this is what Paul says. These three things he says, I fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. This is just prior to him dying a martyr's death for the cause of Christ. And he's telling Timothy that I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Now, how is it that Paul could do that? Because he had strived to know more about Jesus. His focus was not on his past. His focus was being built on his future, and that was to know more about Jesus. And so that's why he could do that. Then we see, lastly, Paul's challenge. Paul's challenge to us in verse 15 through verse 21 is be of the same mind. Number one, he said, be of the same mind. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or complete or mature, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So we are to be like-minded, okay? Seek knowing Jesus more, seek after righteousness in our daily walk, and then seek the day we see Jesus. Okay? And that's something that we need to do. And then be examples for others. He uses a word here in sample, which actually means to be a pattern. It's a pattern. Okay? We are to be a pattern here. Look at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. In other words, follow my pattern here, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example, or an example, a pattern, okay? A pattern, a light, a guide is what we need to be. No wonder our young people are so messed up today. It's because they don't have a good pattern to follow. You know, they're following after the bad patterns. And folks, these are the people that are going to be running our country here in the next few years. And we need to be the pattern. We need to be the light, which Jesus is that light that's in us. But we need to be the light and we need to be the guide. And then lastly, we need to be ready to meet Jesus. Look at verse 20 and 21. For our conversation, which that word means citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't know where you stand spiritually, but I'm telling you, I know where my citizenship is, and it's in heaven. And I'm just passing through here on earth. But my citizenship is in heaven, and I'm looking for the Lord Jesus to come back. He said he was coming back. He went to prepare a place for us, and And if he prepared this place for us, he's coming back to receive us, that we may be with him for all of eternity. And he says in verse 21, who shall change our vile bodies, he's going to change it, he's going to glorify us into perfection, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So be ready to meet Jesus. Be ready to meet him. Ephesians 6:13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We need to stand on the Word of God. And that's what we need to stand on. Not on your church, not on a denomination, not on your pastor. You need to stand on the Word of God. Okay? And in closing, let me just share this with you and we're done. Paul's last past life, we need to examine ourselves. Paul's conclusion is we need to let go of the past. We need to get rid of that. We need to put that behind us. Paul's future focus, we need to know more about Jesus, don't we? I don't know about you, but I want to know more about him. And then Paul's challenge is to be ready to meet Jesus. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Let me pray with you. Father, thank you again for the word and the power of your word. And I pray you'll use it, that you'll use it to touch and prick our hearts and show us what we need in our lives. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here lost today that has never reached out for that free gift of salvation that you provide, your grace, I pray that today they will call out to you and ask you to come into their life and save them. Please help them to do that. Lord, give them that courage that they'll do that. Bring conviction to their hearts. And those of us that are saved, Lord, I pray you'll give us strength and help us, Lord, to forget those things that are behind. And Lord, that we would look forward and be focused on you, more focused on you, and wanting to know more. And Lord, that our relationship would be stronger as we seek you, and you'll use us for your kingdom. Thank you for loving us. Give us a great day. Keep us safe from all the storms. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you again for listening in. Lord willing, I'll see you next week.